Well, thank you, worship team, and thank you all of you for singing so heartfelt. It sounded beautiful this morning. Well, we are continuing on in our series through 2 Timothy. First of all, if there's children can be dismissed for children's church. For all of you kids that want to go with George, you can be dismissed at this time. So we're continuing on in our series through 2 Timothy, and we have now arrived at chapter 3, and the title for the message today is Dangerous Days. Dangerous Days. Danger is all around us. We are constantly surrounded by life-threatening hazards and dangers. But thankfully, we also live in a time of wonderful technology that is able to warn us about the potential hazards and dangers that are around us. There are signs that are placed everywhere to warn us about the danger that is present. If you ever go outside, and especially if you're ever walking through a city, you'll see that there are warning signs everywhere, because apparently we are on the verge of death all the time. And we see signs all over the place. No running, no walking, step up. Slippery when wet, do not lean on railing, and the list just goes on and on. And you know why we need all those signs? It's because we become dependent upon them. We no longer are able to think for ourselves, and people have gotten to the point where they depend on these signs to warn them about danger, otherwise they would never know it's there. I mean, think about it. The very fact that we need a sign that says, do not lean on the railing, tells you something. Why did they have to put that sign there? Probably because at some point somebody leaned on the railing and fell over. And they thought, oh, now we need a sign. Do not lean on the railing. And who hasn't figured out that slippery surfaces are, that wet surfaces are slippery? I mean, still, who hasn't figured this out? Who's walking through the mall on those marble floors, you know, that they polish every night, sees this giant puddle and thinks, I'm going to walk through that puddle and see what happens. You know, sometimes my human nature kicks in, and I think to myself, maybe we should take some of these signs down and just let nature run its course. And it makes you wonder, like, how did we ever get along as a society before we had all of these warning signs? How did we ever survive? How did we ever cross the street before we had the Someday, I want to tell my grandkids, you know, back when I was growing up, we didn't have all those fancy lights and signs to cross the street. Now they've even got the countdown timer, so you know how much time you have to get across the street. And tell them, you know, but when I was growing up, we didn't have all that. And the grandkids will be like, really? Well, how did you ever cross the street? Well, you see, what we would do is we would walk up to the street and we would look. And when there was a break in the traffic, we'd make a run for it. They're probably thinking, my grandpa's Evel Knievel. So I've got a quiz for all of you this morning on our PowerPoint slide today. I'm going to put up a slide that has a sign that is warning about potential danger, a very specific danger, and I want you to try to guess what the danger is that this sign is warning us about. We'll start out easy. It'll get a little bit more difficult as we go on. So are you ready for the first one? All right, what danger is this sign warning us about? Poison, exactly. If you ever see that symbol on something you're holding, don't put it in your body. Don't ingest it, all right? If you do, all I can say is God's will has been done for your life, all right? How about this next one? What is the danger that this sign is warning us about? Flammable. Yes. There is some type of flammable substance near you. Be careful of open flames. Right? Next one. Railroad crossing. This is a very important one. we have all kinds of warning signs to warn us about railroad crossings, right? Like, warning, railroad crossing 500 feet, warning, railroad crossing 200 feet. And then when you get up there, you've got the arms that come down and the lights flashing and the bells dinging and all of that. Railroad crossing. How about this next one? Two-way traffic, yes. That other lane is not for you. Okay? Traffic is going both ways. How about this next danger? What is this warning us about? Lane ends. Merge. How many of you, that sign gives you anxiety when you see that sign? Come on, be honest. I appreciate the ones that will tell you how long you have before you have to merge. You know, like, lane ends, 1 mile. Okay, I've got a mile before I've got to get over. Lane ends, 1,500 feet. All right, you know, I've got to get over relatively soon. But not all of them do that. Some of them just have this. Lane ends, and all of a sudden you're like, oh boy, I got to get over. And some of them are rather sharp, too. How about this next danger? What is this warning us about? Electricity. There's an electrical or a shock hazard that is present. Very good. How about this next one? Yes, there's a crush hazard, some type of moving machinery, moving parts or something that could mangle your hand if you were to stick it in there. How about this next one? Yes, a corrosive. There's some type of corrosive acid type of hazard, yes. All right, this next one might be a little bit more difficult. I'm trying to make it a little bit more difficult. What hazard is this warning us about? Corn dogs. I like that, corn dogs. I didn't think of that one. And at first thought, no, that's not a rolling pin. Okay. It's not warning you about an angry spouse, so that's not it either. This is warning about gas under pressure. There is some type of gas under pressure danger. I like the corn dog one. That was good. All right, how about this next danger? What is this warning us about? Radiation, yes. All right, this next one, this last one, is perhaps the most scariest one of all. Let me just say this. If that light comes on, you're not driving right, okay? You should have filled up 100 miles ago. You don't get to the point where that light comes on. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we had, like, our own personal robot that could tag along with us and warn us if there's some kind of danger ahead, even if it's a danger that we can't see or we don't know it's there, but it could warn us in advance. Wouldn't that be nice? Kind of a lot like this guy. Oh, we lost the audio.
Danger!
We'll see if I can back up and do it again.
Danger, Will Robinson! Danger! No, Will Robinson! Danger!
Wouldn't that be nice if we had some kind of system that could warn us that the days that we're living in are about to get dangerous? Wouldn't that be nice? Oh, wait a minute. What's this? A Bible. Huh. I wonder what this says. Know this, in the last days, dangerous times will come. Danger, Calvary Assembly, danger. If you haven't already, would you take God's precious word and please turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 as our text for this morning. And as we read this, would you please stand one last time and give honor, reverence to God's holy word as we read this passage. I'm reading from the Modern English Version this morning, and it says this, "Know this, in the last days, perilous," that's the word danger there, "dangerous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, slanderers, unrestrained, fierce, despisers of those who are good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Turn away from such people. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless your word this morning and that you would apply it to our hearts. Lord, help us to have eyes of discernment this morning as we look at your word and apply it to the time in which we are living. I pray that every heart would be blessed by the message this morning. We ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. So as we continue on in our series through 2 Timothy this morning, we come to this point where Paul warns the young pastor, this young Timothy, about the danger that's going to be present in the last days. And with the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he describes the condition that the world will be in and signs that we can look for that will warn us about danger at hand. And it's quite a lengthy list of the signs that we can look for so that we cannot possibly miss the danger that is at hand. And then he tells us how to avoid the danger. So in keeping with what we've been doing, we're going through this very systematically. And so I've got four main points to the message this morning. We're going to spend the majority of our time on point number two. But point number one, first of all, is we see the condition of the earth in the last days. The condition of the earth in the last days. I want you to first notice that Paul tells Timothy to know or understand this. Timothy, you need to understand this. That means that it is our job to be watchful. And it is our job to keep an eye out for the things that are happening in the world around us. A good Christian is going to read the Bible with one hand and the newspaper with the other. Maybe we don't have newspapers anymore, but you know what I mean. To keep an eye on the events of the world as we're going through the Bible and reading Scripture and comparing what is happening with what the Bible says is going to happen. It is our job to understand the times that we are living in. I think one of the major problems with the American church today is that many of them are oblivious to the times in which we're living in. They just have no idea the way things are going. To know and understand this also means that we should not live in denial of the things that are to come. And we have to understand that things are going to get bad before Jesus returns. The world is going to become a dangerous place. And the church is going to get extremely corrupt. Because the Bible describes a time of great falling away from the truth. And apostasy that will set in. And so I fear that one of the major problems with the modern church, the American church today, is that we have this idea that we need to save civilization, that it's the church's job to save our country and to save civilization. And there's this idea that we can save America if we can essentially build Christ's kingdom for him. If the church can be in control of politics, education, and media, and so on, that we could actually save civilization. But I want you to know that that's not the truth this morning. And it's not the church's job to save civilization. Because the all-important truth is this. The gospel was not given to save civilization from destruction. But rather, the gospel was given to save mankind from the destruction of civilization. Do you understand that this morning? The gospel wasn't given to save nations. The gospel wasn't given to save this earth. The Bible is very clear that this earth is headed to destruction and that nations are headed to essentially destruction. The gospel was given to save individual souls from sin and the coming judgment and that we are bringing upon ourselves. It is mankind that is destroying this earth. It is our sin, it is our rebellion against God that is bringing this world to an end. And so the gospel was given rather to save mankind, to save people from the destruction that we are bringing upon ourselves. So it's not the church's mission to build Christ's kingdom for him. He's going to do that when he returns. The church's mission is to be preaching the gospel. We were told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Okay, so let's talk about this danger that we face. What is this danger that we face? Well, some versions say perilous, which means violent and exceedingly fierce. This word is used only one other time in the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 8, when it describes two men who are demon-possessed, who are so violent and so fierce that nobody can even travel on the road by where they are. They can't even go near them. Now, to me, this implies that the danger that we're going to face in the last days will be demon-induced violence, days of satanic oppression and destruction. And so Paul gives us some warning signs of what we can look for, of what those days are going to look like. And very specifically, the characteristics of the people who are living in those last days. So that brings us to our second point today, the characteristics of the people living in the last days. We're going to go through this pretty much word for word and examine these traits or these characteristics of these people who are living in the last days. And every one of these should shout out to us, danger. Danger, Calvary Assembly, danger. And so let's see if we can recognize some of these characteristics. First of all, it says that people will be self-centered. Lovers of their own self. This really is the foundation, the foundational thought upon which everything else is built. All of these traits, all of these characteristics. It's really the religion of humanism, is what it is. It is a me-first philosophy. And this is the philosophy that Satan introduced to Adam and Eve way back in the Garden of Eden when he told them, you can be like gods. And you can know, or in other words, you can decide for yourself what is good and what is evil. You don't need God to tell you that. You can decide for yourself what's right or wrong. What is the popular message of today? You know what the popular message of today is? Follow your heart. Chase your dreams. Do what feels good. Do what feels right. And those things aren't necessarily always bad, except for when they contradict the authorities that God has put in place, especially when they contradict the authority of God's word. Because then what happens? If you exalt your own feelings above the word of God, are you not declaring yourself to be God? Yes. And this is a major trait, a major sign of what people will be like in the last days. They will put their own wishes above all things. They will be very self-centered, self-focused. The next characteristic of people living in the last days is that they will be greedy. We are told that they will be lovers of money. One of the major focuses will be money and possessions. People will find their identity in their possessions and in what they own. Well, the Bible teaches us that we find our identity in Christ. It's not in what we have, but rather what He has done for us. And furthermore, in the previous letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, in 1 Timothy, Paul told Timothy that the love of money leads to all kinds of evil. I love what Adrian Rogers, the great late preacher, has to say on this topic. He said, the Bible teaches us that we are to worship God, love people, and use things. However, this generation ignores God. They use people, and they love things. We've got our priorities all jumbled up and mixed up. So when you see a rise of greed, it's a warning sign that that we are living in dangerous times. The next characteristic of people living in the last days is that they will be braggartly or boastful, as the Bible says. People will love to brag about themselves. And really, it's no surprise, because as the focus becomes all about me, me, me. People will spend the majority of their time talking about themselves. I found this really interesting. I learned something as I was studying this. This word literally translates as wanderer, a wanderer, or an imposter. And I think that's a very vivid description of what a bragger is. A wanderer is someone who's always walking, but never reaching anywhere important, right? Never reaching their destination. A braggart is someone who's always bragging and talking about things that they plan to do, but never accomplishing them, never doing them. It is bragging about the intentions of your heart. It's not boasting about the things that you've done, but rather bragging about the things that you plan to do. Like a wanderer who's always walking but never reaching his destination. And remember that as we're going through this, all of these characteristics, all of these traits stem back to Satan. Because these are dangerous days. They are demon-induced violence and danger. And I think that a lot of times people are a lot like Satan when they boast about the intentions of their heart, of things that they plan to do in contradiction to God's word. Remember the words of Satan at the moment of his rebellion. He said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High God. He didn't. He couldn't do those things, but that was the intent of his heart. He was a braggart. He was boasting about the intentions of his heart, of what he planned to do. And that is a major warning sign that you're living in dangerous days. Next characteristic is people will be arrogant. At first, it seems kind of odd that you've got arrogant and proud, or boastful and proud, arrogant, right next to each other, because they seem like the same thing, but they're not. Because as we just discussed, this boastful is talking about the things that you plan to accomplish, but the pride here means to be arrogant about the things that you've already accomplished. But even worse than that, this is a level of pride that uses your accomplishments to exalt yourself above others, at the same time pushing other people down. It is a lifting myself up and pushing other people down type of pride. I was listening to a comedian, John Crist, earlier this week, and he was talking about how his mom was always telling him to never compare yourself to others. Because, you know, if you view yourself as being less superior to other people, you're always going to have this negative view of yourself. And he said, oh, but mom, when I compare myself to people that are way beneath me, it feels good. I feel a lot better about myself. That's this level of pride that you lift yourself up in order to put other people down. Well, the Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 3, in humility, let each one of you esteem other people, others, better than yourself. That should be the heart and the mindset of a Christian, that we are humble enough to view others as being better than ourselves. The next characteristic is that people will be blasphemous. What is blasphemy? Well, blasphemy is speaking or committing evil, profane things against a holy God. And believe me, there are days that I cannot believe the level of blasphemy that our nation has reached. It's scary to see the level of blasphemy. You know, gone are the days where it was just funny for comedians to make jokes about God and Christians. But we've now reached a whole nother level where Disney has made an animated series about a teenage girl that gets impregnated by the devil and gives birth to the Antichrist. A music artist, if you can call him that, makes this music video where he slides down a stripper pole into hell and seduces the devil in a homosexual lap dance. Children who wish to have a nativity scene at their school, at their Christmas program, who are labeled by the local newspaper as being dangerous and a threat to society because they asked to have a nativity scene in their Christmas program. But then that same school encourages those same students to attend a story time that's hosted by a drag queen. The level of blasphemy is shocking and shuddering. And it's one of the characteristics of people living in the last days. They will be blasphemers, openly mocking a holy God, while at the same time promoting a satanic agenda. The next characteristic is that people will be rebellious, disobedient to parents. And this comes as a result of the rejection of authority. And it's really no wonder. We shouldn't be surprised at the level of rebellion in our country today when the message to kids ever since they are young is trust your heart. Do what feels good. Because you know what they hear? When they hear trust your heart, follow your dreams, what they hear is you are your own authority. You don't need to listen to the authority of anyone else, whether that be the school teachers, your parents, your pastor, the Bible, or God. And that's why the Bible tells us that rebellion is like the sin of witchcraft, because you are elevating your will above God's, and you're exercising the false religion of humanism, putting yourself above all other authority, including the Bible and God himself. There will be a rise of rebellion in the last days, and that warns us that we are living in dangerous times. The next characteristic is that people will be ungrateful or unthankful. In the last days, people will just simply lack gratefulness. They will not appreciate anything that's done for them. You know, along with this self-centered society comes the belief of entitlement, that I am entitled to good things. I deserve every good thing that I can get. And so when you have that type of mentality of entitlement, it just tosses thankfulness and gratefulness away. There is no place for thankfulness when you live under the belief that you are owed everything that is given to you. For those of you who've known me for a while, you've probably heard me tell this story before, but several years ago, one of my children asked me for a drink of juice. And so I got the juice and I got the cup and I poured them a glass of juice. And I was working with this child on expressing thankfulness and gratefulness. And so I said to the child, "Now, what do you say to Dad for getting you the juice?" And this child replied, "Thanks. Now give me my juice." And ever since then, I've jokingly said, somewhat jokingly, that we should change the name of Thanksgiving to "Thanks, now give me." Because it's really the mentality, I think, that a lot of people have. I find it terribly ironic that the day after we spend this day focusing on how thankful we are and how grateful we are for all the things that we have, the very next day, we get up at ungodly hours of the morning and go out shopping, and people are crazy. I mean, there's been accounts of them trampling other people, stealing stuff out of other people's carts, getting into physical fights over a sale. This is a characteristic of people in the last days, that they will be ungrateful. Thanklessness. The next characteristic of people in the last days is that they will be unholy. This means that there will be a lack of righteousness. No sense of morality, no sense of what is truly right or wrong, but wickedness will abound. But not only that, but sin will be normalized and accepted. People will live in all kinds of sin without any sense of morality or godliness whatsoever. And holiness is no longer an emphasis. People will be unholy in the last days. It is a warning sign that you are living in dangerous days. The next characteristic is that people will be hard-hearted. The phrase here is without natural affection. You know, this phrase literally means without family love. Literally translated, that's what it means, without family love. And boy, do we ever see this in American homes today. Divorce rates, climbing higher than ever, to the point now we're redefining what marriage even is. It's just an all-out war on biblical marriage. There's a leading feminist, look at what she said back in 2017. "We must work to destroy marriage. The end of the institution of marriage is a necessary condition for the liberation of women." Here's another quote from that group. They said, "We must destroy love. Love promotes vulnerability, dependence, possessiveness, susceptibility to pain, and prevents the full development of the human potential by directing all their energies outward in the interests of others." Isn't that terrible? What a horrible thing to say. We got to get rid of love because you're too focused on helping other people. You're too focused outward instead of inward. Self-centered much? Parents are without natural affection towards their own children. Do you know that statistics tell us that 30 to 40% of children will be sexually abused by a family member? The immediate family member. That number goes up when you start to consider close friends or distant relatives, some of them reaching about 70% of kids that will reach some kind of sexual abuse in their lifetime. We're without natural affection in our very own families. Not to mention the whole homosexual agenda. Men lacking the natural affection towards a woman, and vice versa. And even just beyond that, but human beings in general are getting to a place where we just have no natural affection towards each other at all. We're becoming hard-hearted and insensitive towards the needs of others. And then irreconcilable. The word there is truce breakers. What it means is that you can't take people for their word. People's word will mean nothing anymore. Why do you think we live in an age where you have to have all these contracts? Every time you want to do business, you've got to have this mountain of paperwork of contracts that need to be signed. Because people's word, a person's word doesn't mean anything anymore. They're not honest. There's no reaching an agreement with people in these last days because they will be irreconcilable. The idea here is that some people will just never be willing to reach an agreement. They'll never be satisfied. And then next is slanderous, the next characteristic that we see. People will be slanderous. This means that you speak evil of other people, especially through false accusations. Let me show you how dangerous it is to speak ill of other people. The word here for slanderous, is the Greek word diabolos. And that is the word that we get our name devil from. Do you know that the devil's name, the name devil, literally means slanderer or accuser? The main trait of Satan is that he is a tattletale. We are told in Revelation chapter 12, we're given this description about this war that breaks out in heaven between Satan and his angels and Michael and the good angels. And Satan gets cast out of heaven. But notice in verse 10, it says, "The salvation and the power and the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser," that's the devil, "for the accuser of our brothers who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." Satan, what he does right now is he goes before the throne of God and he accuses the saints. He's a slanderer. I think sometimes people are no more, you couldn't be more like Satan than at the moment that you are slandering other people and speaking ill of them. People in the last days will always be accusing, pointing the finger at other people, slandering their name, doing their best to ruin their reputation. And this especially comes out in an election year. So brace yourself for next year. The next characteristic is that there will be no self-control. The word there is unrestrained. People have no self-restraint, no self-control. And this means that they will be given over to their addictions. Addictions are going to reign and rule over people's lives in these last days. They'll have control over people because they have no restraint. The next characteristic is that they will be vicious, fierce. People will be bloodthirsty and violence-obsessed in the last days. We don't need to spend long talking about the rise of violence in America today. It's portrayed everywhere. Violence is portrayed on video games, played by young children, verbalized in lyrics of music, graphically displayed on movies. You know, there's such a fascination with violence today. In 2008, there were 546 movies that were produced under the category of horror, which typically show graphic violence. 546 movies. In 2020, that number increased to 758 movies that were produced under the category of horror. To put this in perspective, movie theaters only released about 350 movies that year. So that means that for every movie that was released, there were two movies that were produced under the category of horror. Because there is such a fascination and obsession with violence and blood and gore. It's a sign that we are living in dangerous days. And then the next one is that people will hate what is good. Not only will they be ungodly, and not only will they be unholy, but they will reach a point where they cling to wickedness so tightly that they actually hate what is good. And furthermore, they will hate those who stand for what is good. And so we can expect to see a division between parties, lovers of sin and lovers of righteousness, lovers of evil and lovers of good. The next characteristic is that people will be traitorous. It will be nothing to betray those closest to you. In those days, you won't know who to trust, because those who claim to be on your side and claim to be with you will be the very ones to turn their back on you. And this will be especially prominent when the Antichrist is in power and he forces people to take his mark as an act of worship. And we read Jesus' description of this time period in Mark chapter 13, verse 12. He says, "Now a brother will betray his own brother to death, and the father the son. Children will rise up against their parents and will cause them to be put to death." It's the days of betrayal and full of traitorous people. It should warn us that we're living in dangerous days. The next characteristic is that people will be reckless. And this literally means that logical thinking is gone. Common sense will be gone. People will make decisions that are hasty, that are rash, that are reckless, but furthermore, using no common sense and no logic whatsoever to their thinking. The next characteristic is that people will be delusional. The word there is conceited. And some of the synonyms of this Greek word are crazy, demented, and insane. During these times, people, their thought process is so illogical, it's delusional and crazy. Especially as they're focused on their own self, their own pride. And then people will be pleasure seekers. And this is the final characteristic of people in the last days. They will be pleasure seekers, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And so this implies that even if the pleasure that they are seeking is sinful, they're still going to choose it over God anyways. Pleasure will become more important than anything else in life. Now let me ask you something. All of these characteristics that we just talked about, who are these people? Who is this describing? Because when you first read through that list, you probably think to yourself, well, that's describing the wicked. That's describing the non-believers of the last days. But you know something? We would be wrong in thinking that. It's not describing the wicked. It's not describing the non-believers, but rather it's describing the church of the last days. That brings us to point number three, the counterfeit church in the last days. Because Paul says all of these characteristics, all of these people have a form of godliness, but they deny its power. This is a description of the counterfeit church in the last days. People who conduct themselves in the name of Christianity, and by all outward appearance, are the church of Christ, but they are most definitely not the true church of Christ. I read an article earlier that there are these reports coming in that religion is on the rise in America. And there was all these comments, all these people were, oh, hallelujah, praise the Lord, there's revival, religion is on the rise in America. And folks, I'm to the point where I'm not so quick to rejoice at that. We don't need religion. We need repentance. Amen. We don't need revival in the way that the American church thinks that we need revival today. The modern thinking of revival is that you have this really emotional movement where you feel God and there's healings that take place and people are raised from the dead and there's all these signs and wonders. We don't need that. We need a true repentance. We need people to get their hearts right with God and to repent of these things that we've been talking about this morning. There will be a counterfeit religion in the last days. And that's something that we need to be aware of and to know and understand. And this is my personal opinion, but it would not surprise me at all if this counterfeit church in the last days is going to end up becoming the religion that the Antichrist himself endorses and becomes a part of. And then, number four, the command for us in the last days. The command for us. Paul says, turn away from such people. I love this. Paul's solution to the whole thing is avoid them. Don't associate with them. Cut ties with this counterfeit church. If you recognize the characteristics that we mentioned in a pastor or a preacher, an apostle and a prophet, or whoever you've been listening to, Paul's word to you today, stop following them. Amen. Avoid them. Because there is great danger that comes in associating with these types of people. So as we close this morning, I want to end on a more positive note. I know this is a heavy message. And at times it's really discouraging to think that we have to live in such dangerous times. And that it is scary, especially as a parent raising children. You wonder, are we doing the right things in raising children in these dangerous days? And so I want to end on a more positive note and say this. You know, things will get dangerous. They have to. But I don't think we're in the end yet. I do think that there is still time. And here's the good news. The gospel still works. Amen. The gospel still changes lives. It still changes hearts. And we've been given the command from our Lord and Savior, go into the world and preach the gospel. And that's what we need to be doing. Instead of being afraid and focusing on all the danger that's around us, we need to be bold in preaching the truth and standing up for what's right and continuing to be the church of Jesus Christ until he returns. And so that's my message of hope to you today, is that I love what Dad says all the time. Even though it seems like the world is falling apart, it's not. The world's not falling apart. All the pieces are falling into place. All the pieces are coming together, and where the world is headed to is the feet of Jesus. Because the Bible tells us that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's where the world is headed to. And that's where we are headed to. And we have our hope as an anchor that is sure and steadfast, that goes up into the very throne room of God, and our hope is in Jesus Christ, in His righteousness. And that is the hope of the church today. And I was going to end with how we can protect ourselves from being deceived in these last days. But I am going to go out on faith and believe that the next couple of weeks we're going to hear the answer to that. As we go through this passage, especially here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is very clear about what we are to be doing in order to not be deceived, in order to not be led astray. So I'm going out on faith and saying, come back out the next couple of weeks, because our next few weeks through this passage, we're going to learn the answer to how can we remain steadfast and not be deceived. So let's keep our focus on what we can be doing and what we should be doing as the Church of Jesus Christ. Standing up for what's right, standing for truth, and still preaching the Word of God until Jesus returns. Can I have your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning? And first of all, I have to give this opportunity as a preacher of the gospel. If there's anybody here that you have not received Jesus as your Savior, you have not surrendered your life to Him, you have not made Him Lord of all in your life, and maybe you have really still been struggling with this me-ism, putting my desires and my wills above His. But you want that to change, and today you want to respond to the precious love of our God, who loves you so much that He sent His Son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins, so that you don't have to ever face or receive punishment, but only the glory that is given to you through Jesus Christ. So is there anyone here, you have not received Jesus, you have not surrendered your life to Him, you have not made Him Lord, but you would like to do that this morning? Would you just raise your hand, just put your hand up and then back down. I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to call you forward, I just simply want to pray with you. Is there anybody here you'd like to receive Jesus into your heart for the first time? And then, saints, I also want to give a second call to repentance, because as we've gone through this list of all of these characteristics of people in the last days, I don't know about you, but some of them kind of hit home to me. And maybe we start to see some of those very traits in our own lives. I think about the times that maybe I talk bad about a fellow believer in Christ, or at any moment where I am tempted to be arrogant, brag about things that I've accomplished, or reach a point where I put other people down. Would you just take a moment and ask God, Lord, would you search my heart? Would you send your Holy Spirit right now, and would you search my heart and see if there's any characteristics in me that shouldn't be there, that's more in line with this counterfeit church? And would you just confess that to the Lord and repent of that now? And the Bible promises that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I know that He's doing that now. And then the last thing is, church, would you join with me in making the decision today that I am going to remain steadfast and true to the gospel of Jesus Christ? No matter what this world does, and no matter what the modern church is preaching, I purpose that I'm going to stay true to the Word of God as the ultimate authority. And that I'm going to stand for what's right. I'm going to stand for what is godly, what is holy, and what is righteous. I'm going to love good and hate evil. And if that's you this morning and you're making that purpose in your heart, would you just raise your hand with me up and down all over the place? Lord, help me to be the true church in these dangerous days. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. And I thank you, Lord, that you have given us these warning signs about the dangerous days that we live in. And Lord, I just thank you, first of all, for those, and myself included, who have confessed and repented of characteristics, Lord, in our life that don't belong there. And Lord, as we bring those to you today, we are thankful that we can find mercy and grace and forgiveness at the feet of the cross. We thank you for that, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up a true remnant of believers in these last days. Lord, that there would be a real movement in your church that is led by Spirit-filled Christians who seek to preach the gospel and promote the gospel. May the focus not be about us building your kingdom, but that we would be bringing souls into the kingdom so that when you bring your kingdom, there will be souls in it. Help us to have our priorities right in these last days, and that our focus would be all about you. Give us strength, Lord, to be the true church. And we thank you for a gospel that still works and that still moves. And Lord, we just pray that there would be a movement of true, genuine conversions and people brought into the kingdom of God. That people's eyes would be spiritually opened, and they would see the deception and the lies and the falsehood that is all around us, and that they would be moved to the truth and yield their lives to their Creator. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Be with us as we go now. May your Spirit rest upon us in Jesus' name. Amen.